You're listening to the radio broadcast of Marcus Hook Baptist Church, located in Linwood, Pennsylvania. For more information about our ministry, visit us online at www.onechurchtogether.com. Good morning, and thanks for listening to our radio broadcast. This morning's message is called I Love My Church, Week 2. The title, The Dangers of Gossip in a Church.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good to be in the house today. What a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I know we have some of our 10:30 folks that are in here today that are going canoeing with Pastor Jim right afterwards. So, Jim, we put them all in your care today officially, okay? And then you got that. But it's going to be a good day. I know we have perfect weather for this today, and we're very, very excited about that. Glad to see you today. I hope you've had a good week. It's been a crazy week here. I think every week is turning out that way sometimes, but our daycare is opening up next week, and we want to be an encouragement to Miss Diana, who's doing such a great job getting that going. If you go down and see our kids area, or if you haven't been there, please go down and check it out. The whole thing is just beautiful. It's all brand new, super clean. Fixtures, beautiful. The rooms look fantastic, and she's done such a great job getting all that together. And we appreciate her ministry here. And you being encouragement to Diana, she's working about, let's just say, a lot more hours than she's supposed to be working right now, getting all that done. But she's really just doing such a fantastic job. You know what's going to be awesome? We don't just teach Sunday school and church on Sunday anymore. We're going to have children in this building all week long that are going to be loved by moms and loved by different gals, and they're going to learn about Jesus every single day. And what a privilege that is for us to be a part of families' lives, because it's tough. I mean, Kim and I were talking about it when our girls were little. You know, we had, because this area, it's not one of the cheapest places in the world to live. I've got good friends of mine in Texas that live in 4,000 square foot homes with pools in their backyard and paid about $80,000 to $100,000 less than we paid for our house. And we know that the cost of living is very high in this area. Most families need two incomes to be able to sustain themselves. And that's just such a heartbreaking, painstaking decision when God's blessed you with kids to have to go through that. Well, am I doing wrong by putting my kids in daycare? What's going on here? But here's the truth of that. If you could put them in a place where you're getting, you know, godly love and godly influence and comfort and care and safety and all those different things, really gives you a peace of mind. And it really is, it's going to be a great privilege to invest in the lives of those kids every day. So be praying about that, and that very important part of our ministry that's going to be starting very, very soon. I want to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We had a great service last night. Had real good decision time at the end of our service. Had some new folks here last night that are learning about our church. We're in this series called I Love My Church. And today's an interesting topic because I wrote the men in an email to talk to them about the services this weekend and to pray for them. I don't usually when I put message series together, it's about 2 or 3 months out before we start them, and I kind of have my calendar together of where we want to go and different times of the year and so forth. And there are times that God just shuts that down and leads me a different direction during the week. But the Lord's really helped me stay on track with some of those things. And this message this week is something that I put together about 8, maybe 9 weeks ago for this week. And consequently, this week, there was a lot of really good visuals and illustrations of what takes place in a church sometimes that's a little tough and can be a little trying, because the truth of the matter is when God's doing something in a church, you can be absolutely guaranteed that Satan hates it, and he's going to do everything he can to fight against that. Let me hear you say amen. It's just the truth. When God's working, Satan's rolling up his sleeves, and Brother Don Anthony, one of our trustees, will come up and he'll say, Pastor, I'm so excited I say, why is that, Brother Don? He says, because I know Satan's mad right now. And I love when he says that to me. But the truth is, when Satan's mad, he's doing stuff in people's lives and trying to get them just to stray just a little tiny bit, you know, whether it's in their heart or their mind or in their family, or just distract so that we get our eyes off of what Christ wants us to have our eyes on. That's the cross, and that's the work that he wants to do in people's lives. And today we're going to be talking about being a unifying church member. Jesus prayed for this. The Bible says in John 13:35, your love for one another, listen to this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not the fact that you say you're a church member, or you say you've done this, or you say this is your history. The way that you prove to the world that you're a follower of Jesus Christ is demonstrated not by how much you give, not by how long you've done this, not by anything like that. It's demonstrated by the way that you love people. That's the proof positive that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. We read last week in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but verse number 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. Love isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of being wrong. Love never gives up. No, love never loses faith. It's always hopeful. You go all through those things. And the end of the chapter, it says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what, church? It's love, right? It's the love that we give to one another. And I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to, listen, I want you to look inside of your heart this morning. Because when the Word of God is open and the God of the Word speaks to our heart, sometimes if we, you know, I've been in church services before, like many of you have for many, many years. And sometimes I wonder if he's talking to me, you know. Jim, I'm talking to you this morning. I can just tell you that right now, Jim Teal, you know, But you know what? It's not me that we want to hear from this morning. It's God, amen? And if we allow God to get some of these truths into our heart this morning, and we come into this time every single week of worship, not just doing church, and we're very guilty of that sometimes, where we kind of go through the exercise. Today's Sunday. Today, Saturday night, I got a bath. Sunday, I got to go to church, right? That's kind of the way the week goes, right? So this morning, I'm going to get up, go to church, listen to the message, put my offering in the offering plate, say hi to my friends and family, go home, look at my calendar, and take my red pen and go, did today. But if we come into a service like this, and we do this every single time the Word of God is open, and we come to worship him in spirit and truth, and we say, God, I give you permission to speak truth into my heart today. I want to promise you something. God will reveal to you what it is that he wants you to learn in that service that day. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you contributing to the unity of Marcus Hook Baptist Church? Would you say you're a conduit of love and of unity and of positiveness and of kindness and of brotherly love and of reaching out across the aisle to get to know people that maybe you don't know? And listen, our church had quite a big challenge. You think about a year ago on actually today is the day that the church voted on us last year. And then on July 18th, I think it was the 18th, we had the big service when we brought everybody together. We had this room was filled to capacity with this new church that came together, and we all became one church. And man, it was just such a great energy and a great day and a neat time in the history of our church. But there's a lot of people that didn't know each other, and there's a lot of what's going to happen next. There was a lot of questions, and there was concerns and all those different things that existed. But if you look over the past year, would you say in your ministry, in this church, you've been part of helping bring it together? Or have you maybe been somebody that's not been in that part of the ball game or not? Listen, I'm going to share a couple thoughts with you about what unity means in Scripture. Are you contributing to the unity of the church? Here's the first thing. Unity is defined, but it's also demanded by God in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15, it says, ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you, and I pray for you constantly. That is what God expects from us in his church, that we love everybody. And that the reputation of this church is that we are a church that loves. And listen, we have challenges. Our church is challenged when it comes to reputation. Our church is challenged by reputation and location. I grew up in this community. I remember what happened when 95 was completed and things east of 95 kind of started dying off a little bit. And there was a movement west, you know, where Glenn Mills grew up and all those different places. And man, you look at, I remember when I was a kid when my mom used to take me down to Chester and we went shopping for furniture. You could go shopping in Chester with your families. It used to be different down in this area. You know, when I tell people how to come to our church, I say, go down Market Street. Now this is the crazy street because it has a dual and multiple personalities. It's either Pennell Road or Market Street or 452. It doesn't know who it is half the time, you know. But I tell them, go east, and when you start seeing the oil refineries, our church is pretty close. The highest points in this community are the oil refinery buildings. And then right in the middle of all that, you'll see a church steeple. That's where our church is. You can't miss it, right? So we have different reputation challenges because of where our church is located. But listen, the thing that they say about Marcus Hook Baptist Church, first thing shouldn't be the oil refineries or east of 95 or close to the river or it's not what it used to be. The thing that should be said about Marcus Hook Baptist Church is that church is full of loving and kind and godly people. If you agree with that statement, say amen. Okay, that's what our reputation is supposed to be like. And that's what God said in his word. Listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, a prisoner, it's the Apostle Paul writing from jail, for serving the Lord, listen to this, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. My youngest daughter, Emily, started driving this year. And every time she leaves the house in the evening when she's going out to be with her friends or to go to work or whatever she's going to do, I sit her down. I say, Emily, when you're driving, don't drive with the radio too loud. Dad, I know you say that to me all the time. Honey, don't drive with your radio too loud. Dad, I won't drive my radio too loud. Honey, don't text and drive. Because you and I know that the cell phone is the most important thing in a lot of people's lives. And you know that by talking to them. Have you ever talked to somebody right in the middle of a conversation, somebody calls and they take that phone call over you talking to them? That drives me crazy. And then I did it to somebody this week. And I apologized to them. I'm sorry. I'm talking to you right now. I'm turning my phone off. I'm not even going to listen to that stuff. But we're very, 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 very distracted people because we have people pulling at us from every. And I said that to my daughter, honey, you got to be careful. And you got to be in by 10 o'clock. You got to make sure when you bring the car back home it has gas in it because mom's going to use the car tomorrow. And I don't want her getting in the car with an empty tank of gas. And I say this to her and she hates this. Because when I started driving, she goes, oh, here we go. My dad would make me give him the car back full every time I used it. How many of you grew up in those days when you used to have to fill the car up after you use it, all right? So I would bring the car back full. And somehow my dad would strategically make sure that the car was on empty when I took it. So I was putting gas in it twice. Okay? But I go through this, and it's almost like catechism. I'm repeating myself to her. You got to make sure, Dad, you got to. And why do I do that? Because as her father, I know that all the things that I'm telling her can be easily forgotten. She can be easily distracted by them because you know what? She's just a kid, and she's weak, and I'm weak, and I see her weaknesses better than she does. That's the same reason why God in his word says things to us over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because he knows we needed it. He didn't tell us one time in his word that we're supposed to love people. He didn't tell us one time in his word that we're supposed to be faithful in our giving. Matter of fact, if you look at what the word of God says, you look at all the things that's recorded in scripture about Jesus, he talked more about money than he did about anything else. Why did he say, and why does Jesus use this? And why does God's word use this repetitive teaching method over and over again? Well, you know what? I'll say it personally, because Ed Trinkle needed it. I needed it. Does anybody else need it too? Okay, we all need that. So we've got to understand that God defines unity, but he also demands it. Because if you and I are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we're part of his family, we're his children, the church is the bride, he is the bridegroom. And as the bride, we are a reflection of Jesus Christ. And when people see us, we're supposed to be a living, walking testimony of what Jesus Christ is in people's lives. If we say to people, man, come to my church, will people look at your life and say, you know what, I want to go to that person's church because of the difference that God's making in that person's life. Yes, you have credibility. I'll tell you something. I said this to my church in Jacksonville. We were going through some tough stuff one time. I said, listen, those of you that are walking with the Lord and living right, please invite people to church this week. And somebody looked at me and said, what's that mean? I said, well, those of you that are mad in this, don't invite anybody to church this week, because I don't want anybody thinking that the rest of this church is mad and angry and living the way that you are and expect to see that in our church, because they're not going to come into church like that. God wants us to have, he defines it, love one another, and then he demands it. Does anybody disagree with that, that God wants us to love one another? If you agree with that, say amen. Okay. So here's how we foster that environment of love and unity in the church. Miss Diana right now is creating an environment for our kids. It's an, and for parents more than the kids, truthfully, that it's safe, it's clean, it's inviting, it looks fun, it looks comfortable, and all these different things. Because when parents walk in there, and moms, you understand, as you walk into this environment, there's some things that you're going to expect for your kids. I think it's kind of cool. I got the double confirmation in my life that I'm not called to work in nursery ministry. Because if you want to work in nursery ministry, you've got to put booties on top of your shoes, right? They don't fit on top of my shoes. Therefore, I can't work in the nursery. Thank you, God, okay? But I love that they do that, because you think about it. Just walking from your car into the church in the parking lot, you could be walking on top of all kinds, just walking. I say to my kids all the time, don't walk through the grass to walk into the door of our front of our house, because people walk their dogs through our yard all the time, leaving their business in my grass that you're going to bring into my carpet. Walk on the sidewalk. I'm officially getting old. I admit that, okay? I admit that. But I love the environment. I love the environment that Miss Diana is trying to bring down there. For the ladies, and it looks fantastic, and for the kids. We've got to do that in our church, and one of the ways we do that, we've got to create a gossip-free environment. Somebody say amen. Amen. Romans 1:29 says, now this is an interesting passage of scripture. Look at the things that are numbered together with equal significance that God wants us to understand this passage. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Okay, so he says every kind of wickedness, and he starts to describe wicked things. He says sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling. Murder and quarreling are right next to each other. I don't think that's an accident. Deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, they're heartless, and they have no mercy. Do you think after reading that passage of scripture that God hates gossip? Do you think he hates gossip? Why do you think he hates gossip so much? Remember that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's one of the greatest lies that's ever been told in humanity. And that's the truth. Because when we're quarreling and when gossip happens and we talk about other people behind their backs, you know what winds up happening? We're instead of building bridges in people's lives and showing them we love them, what we're doing is we're putting walls up. And you know what's amazing? How God brings people into your lives with the gossip thing that happens, and he causes you to have to confront that. You know why God causes us to confront that? Because God wants you and I to be right with one another. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to stir up trouble. He wants to stir up trouble. We had something interesting happen in our board meeting last week. We were praying and talking about our building project. And one of the things that did at the time kind of slow down the progress in our bathroom and in the auditorium was the building permits. Just took about a month longer than we expected them to take. So it was like, man, when are we going to get this done? It's just like, and one of the things somebody said, it's just like this outward attack of us trying to get this stuff done. And you know what we did in our meeting? We said, God, let your will be done. If you want us to get this thing done now, can you get us our permit? This. And we prayed about it. You know what we got the next day? Our permits. The next day. We look at the outside world and we say, oh, the world's attacking the church. The world doesn't have to attack the church. The attack happens from inside. It happens when this person's mad at this person and that person's mad at this person. This person says this and that person does that. And Satan just has a field day in people's lives with getting people to be against one another. And then when he gets everybody mad at each other, he kind of just sits back and says, see, God, look at your kids. They can't even get along. And Satan loves that stuff. Satan loves when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, did you hear about Henry Sankin? Oh, let me tell you about Henry Sankin, man. Oh, Henry Sankin. He was out fire guarding, or what do you do? He was fire policing the other day, and somebody went by real fast, and he just started cussing really, really, really bad. And that Henry Sankin's nothing but a big cusser. Shirley just said, amen, preacher. You keep going, you know what I mean? Henry. And then we say this. I'm just using you as an example. Shirley's going to say, keep going. But this is what people do. They'll go up and say, can you go talk to Henry? You ready for this? But don't tell him it was me that said so. You know what that is? It's two things. It's gossip and it's cowardly. It's gossip and it's cowardly. Because if you care about Henry... Glad that step wasn't taller. If you care about Henry and you care about his well-being, you care about his walk with the Lord, and you care about his sweet wife, and you care about his family, you're going to come up to Henry and say, Henry, come here. Come on up here, buddy. Buddy, I love you. And I was going by the other day when you were fire policing or whatever it is that you do, and I heard you cussing at somebody. What are you doing? You're a member of Marcus Hook Baptist Church. You can't talk like that.
Okay,
thank you. I forgive you and I love you. I went to him. I didn't go to Trib and talk about Henry. I didn't go to Chief Hollingsworth to talk about Henry. I went to Henry. Because you know what? Here's something kind of cool. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And isn't it amazing when we follow biblical principles the way God blesses? And because you know what the truth is? You know, I said that thing about sticks and stones earlier. Words are very, very powerful, aren't they? Listen to what God's word says in James chapter 3. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Words are very, very powerful, aren't they? And when we use our words to talk about other people, and when we use our words to talk about other people behind their back, God says those words came from hell. It says there in James chapter 3, and it says that that is a form of wickedness in Romans chapter 1. That's pretty strong stuff. 1 Peter 3:10, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, stop right there. How many want to enjoy life and see many happy days? Raise your hand up in the air. Okay, how many want to have a miserable life and have miserable days? Anybody want that? Say it the opposite way. Okay, nobody. Let's see what the Bible says. If the scriptures say if you want to have a happy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Just get control of your words. Make sure that the things that come out of your mouth are things that are honoring God. And James is interesting. That's a great passage of scripture in James chapter 3. Can you get dirty water and clean water from the same cistern? No, you can't. All these comparisons about the strength of our words helps us to understand, listen, as Christians, we have to be careful what we say. We got to be careful what we say. And we got to be careful who we say it to. And we got to be careful how we talk about other people. And there's things that we say to justify our gossip. Everybody does this. I had somebody say this week, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to tell you this today, okay? I had somebody come up to me this week. Pastor, somebody told me to talk to you about something that they're concerned about. Listen to this. But they didn't want me to tell you who it was. I said, let me relieve you. Tell that person, if they want to talk to me, my office is open. Here's my cell phone number. Miss Joan, she's like a beacon that can find me even when my phone rings when I'm in the bathroom, Miss Joan's trying to call me. She knows how to find me. She's got that womanly thing. I won't avoid you. I promise you. But to send somebody else to me about your concern and not put your name on it, you know what it has? Zero credibility. Zero. And it's you talking to somebody. Well, I don't want anybody to know what I'm saying, but, well, here's what you don't want other people to know. That you were what? Gossiping. We're gossiping. And listen, let me tell you something I know for sure. I know for sure. It's funny, you've heard that saying, oh, why can't we all just get along? We're not going to always get along. You know, I'm going to tell you somebody who I love with all my heart. I love Pastor Jim. If you love Pastor Jim, say amen. Love Pastor Jim. That's right. Good job, Diana. I love Pastor Jim. You know what I found out? Been working with Pastor Jim not quite a year, August. When did you start here back again, Jim? Okay. Your whole life, right? Somebody said to Kim, how long have you been married? She said, my whole life. But when he came back, we started to get to know each other. And we're still learning each other, learning each other's stuff. But I'm going to tell you something about me and Pastor Jim. We don't agree on everything. We don't agree on everything. We don't. But we don't go in there mad at each other about it. Oh, you're such a jerk. And oh, rah, 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 rah. You know, and Jim's a very learned, very smart man. He'll say, Pastor, have you ever considered possibly da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And I'll say, Pastor Jim, that is a great idea. You're right, and I'm a knucklehead. And we'll talk about that, and I'll come into him, and I'll shut his door, and he'll say, what's wrong? I said, I need some advice. I want to make sure I'm doing this the right way. And we'll sit down, and we'll talk through it. And listen, as much as God brought Pastor Jim and Diana back to our church to minister here, I'm going to say this selfishly, God brought him back to minister to me. And he's a blessing to me. But when we disagree about something, we're not mad at each other. You know, I don't go walking out of that room shuffling my feet saying, oh, that stinking Pastor Jim, why did I bring him back? I'll never get him out of here. He was here for 13 years. What was I thinking? I've never said that. I love that guy, and I love his wife, and I love his kids, and they love God, and I love serving with people that love God, even when we don't agree with everything all the time. He's from West Virginia. How can I agree with him all the time? But that's okay. You know, when me and my wife fight about stuff, I'm usually wrong, but when me and my wife fight about stuff, I don't stop loving her. Just because we disagree about, well, you know what? Babe, I really disagree with you about this. Maybe we ought to talk about divorce. That's crazy. I love her more than I dislike the conflict, and we're going to work that thing out because she is the woman that I committed my entire life to. And we're going to finish strong. I want to be one of those couples like some of y'all have had. I want to be one of those couples they look out and see me and my wife sitting over here and her holding me up and jabbing me from falling asleep like some of your wives do. Sorry, Brother Anthony. But I'm not, you know, I want that. I want people to say, we're going to honor Pastor. He used to be a pastor. And look at them. They're 86 years old. And they've been married 88 years old, and they've been married 70 years. Let's give them a big hand. I want somebody to say that about me someday. But I know for sure if we make 70 years of marriage someday at 88 years old, we're going to tell a lot of good stories of a lot of times when I was wrong and she was right. Amen, wives? But we're going to overcome that because we love one another. And that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do with our, you ready, brothers and sisters in Christ. Mrs. Caricelli helped raise me. I was a little kid in her home. She used to feed me. Listen, when I get big, blame her because she used to feed me all this good food when I was a kid. I don't agree with Mrs. Caricelli all the time. Is that fair to say, Mrs. C? But I tell you what, I know that lady loves me. I know she does, and she loves my kids. And even though we don't agree on a little thing and might have to, you know, talk it out a little bit, we don't fight all the time. We've probably disagreed on Two things, maybe, not probably not even that. But I know that she loves this church, and I say this with a very humble heart. She loves her pastor, not that I deserve that. And we know that there's a lot more at stake than the little tiny things that bother us sometimes. You know? It's okay when we don't agree with stuff, but it's not okay when we don't handle it properly. I know we have some folks in our church a little upset at crazy Pastor Aaron because he's changing money in the temple. And I want to tell you something. It's okay that that bothers you a little bit, but it's not okay not to deal with it biblically. It's not okay not to deal with it biblically. He's selling stuff, not making profit, not making money that's helping the ministry, not selling things that's part of the worship in church. If you're going to use that passage of scripture, you got to use that passage of scripture properly. The reason Jesus was mad at money changers in the temple, they knew nothing about what was going on inside the temple, and they were profiting off of people's worship. He's selling hot dogs at 100% profits. We can tell kids about Jesus at camp. It's not for any other reason. He's not getting a cut of that. We're not helping him feed his kids, although we probably could do that. I don't mind if your kid gets one of those hot dogs, Aaron, okay? Just so you know that. But listen, I know that's a little bit different. And it's okay if that's something you have to kind of work through. There's nothing wrong with that, I promise you. I respect how you may feel about that. But just handle it the right way. Don't gather a little group together and let Satan get in the middle of that. Say, Aaron, help me understand why we're doing that, because I'm a little uncomfortable with that because I've never seen it done that way before. That's not wrong to feel that way. But it's wrong to get frustrated. Oh, this church is going to hell in a handbasket. God forbid that we sold a couple hot dogs to help some parents pay for a camp that's $309. That's a lot of stinking money to go to camp. And we thought that during the building program, and we're talking to people about money so much, let's do something where we're not talking about money so much, because this church and Life Church did the same thing. We're sending kids to camp. Let's take an offering. We're sending kids to camp. Let's take an offering. We're sending kids to camp. Let's take an offering. Listen, I understand that. I know it's hard to come in with cow. What are they asking for now? What are they asking for now? You know what I'm asking for you to do in your offering right now? Be faithful. Just be faithful. And pray that some of our new church members will start giving. Because when we all invest in God's work and we're all unified in what God's going to do together, you know what's going to happen? This place is going to explode because we're all one heart, one mind, one accord. And it's not even the heart. It's just these little tiny things that Satan just kind of, he gets in there and he just kind of gnaws at your heart a little bit, makes you concerned and frustrated and mad and angry and all these different things, because Satan wants to put a big division in this church. Because Satan, more than anybody, knows the potential of this church. That's the truth. And we've got to be careful not to say things that are dishonoring. This has been the craziest week for this stuff. It's kind of funny. Ironically funny, not ha-ha funny. Because at the same time, we've had Brother Aaron, 10 different things of, secondhand calls. We have 6 people to say to Aaron this week, Pastor Aaron, somebody told me to tell you that they were upset about this, but they told me not to use their name. Let me tell you something very freeing that'll release you from that burden. If somebody says that to you, say this to them. No. But I'll call Aaron and we can arrange a meeting together. He'll never say no to a free meal and I'll buy. And we can go to Johnny's Doggy Shop on Conchester, because since they closed that Wawa down, them stinking guys, let's go to Johnny's Doggy Shop, get a couple of cheese dogs with the sauce, no onions. Sorry, Miss Rose. Where's she sitting at? No onions for me, okay? And we'll sit down and have some hot dogs, and we'll talk about it, because what's the point? The point is reconciliation. It's not the airing of grievances. When you disagree with something, it's not, well, I want to tell you what I disagree with and I want it my way. No, when you disagree with something, what you're supposed to do is go to that person, and we're going to talk about the process in just a second, for restoration and reconciliation of that relationship. Somebody say amen. So that the church is unified, so that Jesus Christ is glorified, and people are drawn to this church because of the love that exists from one another inside of this church. Here's what the Lord Jesus said about restoration. when you have something against a brother, or you're concerned or you're mad about something and it's just, it's gnawing at you, and you just, listen, don't go to other people and start talking about it. Just do what Jesus told you to do. This is really freeing when you follow God's word. It's very freeing in the liberty that God gives you to try to get yourself understanding in this thing that's happening. First thing, you go to that brother. Listen, if you're mad at Brother Don about something, go to Brother Don. If you're mad at Gordon about something, you go see Brother Gordon, okay? If you're mad at Christina Trinkle about something, you go talk to Christina Trinkle about that. And here's the point. It's not to tell them that you're mad at them. It's to let them know that something happened, bothered you, and you're telling them with the heart and purpose of restoring that relationship. Not just airing out, this is how I feel, and you were wrong. Stop. That's not biblical. Biblical is when you say, Don, my heart is busted over this thing because I love you in the Lord and I don't want to walk by you in church and feel like there's division amongst us. Can we sit down and work this thing out and love one another and then afterwards pray and thank God what he did in our hearts today? That's what the Bible says, church. And when we circumvent that process, because listen, it's repeated all throughout Scripture. This is how we're supposed to do these things. When we circumvent God's process of doing things the way that he's called us to do them, then there's going to be wedges in our relationships. And we've got to not let that happen for the sake of the church and for the sake of the name of Jesus. Amen. You with me? Okay. First thing is we go to that brother. Don, man, got to talk to you, buddy. I'm bumming about something. Now, if it's not resolved at that time, okay, if it's not resolved at that time, and you feel that it just there wasn't, you know, at the end, you were still frustrated with one another, then the second step that Jesus said that we do in that biblical Matthew 16 process or 18 process of restoration is, if it's not resolved, then you bring another witness or a leader in that you guys can both agree to talk with. Then you bring in the third party. Hey, listen, since you and I worked it out, Brother Sankin, about your cussing, since, you know, when you're doing firework, okay, can you help me, since you and I are good, I've got to talk to Brother Don about something. I just don't feel that we're on the same page with this thing. I need somebody in there that's going to keep the peace, keep us spiritual, keep God in the center of it, because at the end of this conversation, I want him and I to have good fellowship with one another. Would you care to go with us when we talk about this thing? And Brother Sankin's going to say, yeah, let me ask my wife. I mean, that, you know, but that's what we're supposed to do. You bring in a third person to be a witness and somebody that's a little bit more spiritual than you are that can help guide you, listen, church, biblically. Because again, it's not, the point is not to be frustrated. The point is restoration. It's not always about being right. Listen, you may be right in a relationship. You may be absolutely right in the argument that you have, but if you handle it the wrong way and that relationship is severed, was being right really worth it? If you're not right with one another, here's the third step that Jesus said we're supposed to do when we have aught with a brother or sister. If it's not resolved then you take it before the church. Hey, listen, me and Brother Don were divided about something. We tried to get Henry in there, and then he started cussing. This thing just got out of control, you know. It's told, so we got to take it before the church. We need God's people to help us with this thing, you know. We got to take it before the body, right? And then if that doesn't happen after that, you ready for this? The Bible says what we're supposed to do. Mark those people who are causing division amongst you. Did you hear that? If somebody's doing and they keep, you know what we have a right to do? Mark people that are causing division. That's what the Bible says. I learned how to be a pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. That's where I learned how to be a pastor. We were there a little over 5 years. In 5 years in that church, in the first 3 years, I'll say it that way, we were there five. In the first 3 years, you ready for this? We had 9 public church discipline situations. It was crazy, Pastor Jim. Man, we had the craziest things that were happening in that church. Some of it's because most of the people were from Georgia. You know, and there were cousins and uncles and aunts. They were all like part of the same family. And man, it was weird stuff. We had one thing. We had a guy in our church that got caught soliciting a prostitute. And he was on our board. It was craziness. We had another guy in our church that got caught for the same thing who was a teacher in our Christian school. We had another situation where the football coach in football, high school football down in Florida is bigger than the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. It's unbelievable. Our football coach, listen to this, got in trouble because he was beating his wife up and taking his paycheck and going down to the casino and gambling. I went to him, he refused. I took a deacon with me, he refused. I took it before the board, he refused. I took it before the church. I had to, right? This guy, he was crazy. The day after we fired him, after like 2 months of trying to get this guy back on track, you know WIP Sports Radio in Philadelphia, and then now there's two sports radio in our town. What's the other one called, Joe? 97.5? Yeah, the Fanatic. There's the Fanatic and there's WIP, right? The WIP sports radio station in Jacksonville, Florida called my office and got me on the phone and wanted to talk to me because callers were begging an answer of why we fired this poor little coach in this poor little Christian school because we had won 5 state titles and we let a guy go because he beat his wife up and didn't take care of his kids. Crazy. We'd take it for the church. And this stuff happened over and over and over and over, and it was absolutely unbelievable. But you know, God was using us. God was teaching me some things, but more importantly, God was purging that church. And guess what happened? Ready for this? Guess what happened after 9 church disciplines in 3 years? Our church tripled over the next 2 years because God was getting all that junk out of there. And you know what? You know what that football coach is doing now? He's serving the Lord. Came into my office 2 years later. Thank you for taking a stand and loving me through it, but not letting me get away with it. God does that when you follow biblical principles. But when we get all these little frustrations that build up inside of our hearts, listen, and I'm not saying your frustration about some things aren't legitimate. I'm going to talk about Mr. Dean for a second, if I can do that. And if you don't want me to do that, tell me after church, okay? I've known Bill Dean since I was a little kid. We went to Word of Life Camp together when I was a kid. You either drove the bus or were on the bus or something. Years ago, years and years ago. He knows what kind of kid I was. I was pretty ornery. And Mr. Dean came up to me one day and said, "Pastor Ed, I don't like that the American flag's not up on the stage." I said, "Oh, I didn't even notice that." We took it down for a funeral and we took it down for a wedding and just didn't. And he came to me and talked to me about it. I said, "Mr. Dean, I'm going to take care of that." And where was that flag the next week, Mr. Dean? It's right up on the stage. It's no big deal. And there weren't hurt feelings and frustrations and anger and oh. He just came to me, said, "Pastor, this is happening. Do you mind if?" And I said, "That's a great idea, Mr. Dean. Let's make that happen." And it wasn't a big thing. But here's what Satan does. Satan will say, "He hates the United States. He's a communist, that pastor of ours. There's going to be a flag burning here someday." No, there's not. I love history. I love the United. I got a flag in front of my house. I only take it down when it's raining real bad. But God, Satan wants to do things because here's what happens. When things change a little bit, we feel a little bit vulnerable and we feel like, oh, what's going on here? I'm not really familiar with this. Satan's going to whisper in your ear and say, "They're going to do all this stuff that's not biblical. They're going to do all this stuff that's going to be this." And then you're going to, I wonder if I'm the only one that feels that way. And then you know what you do? You go to somebody else and you start gossiping. And then Satan's right in the middle of all that stuff. Instead of going to the source and saying, "I'm a little frustrated by that. Can you help me understand that better?" And Mr. Dean's brought other stuff to me that we haven't agreed with. But I still love Mr. Dean.
I love you too.
Thank you, Mr. Dean, very, very much. But that's okay. That's okay, because when we handle it biblically, God is going to bless. Let me tell you something about gossiping. I'm done. I'll go to the next thing. When it comes to gossiping, there's two guilty people, the gossipy and the gossiper, right? You agree with that? So don't be a gossip and don't be a gossip sponge. Some people like have an appetite for that. It's like the gossip sheets at the grocery store. You know, that are sitting right there. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie were captured by aliens and now they're adopting alien kids and bringing them back and starting their own new country on the continent of Africa. Oh, let's read about that. That's got to be true because somebody said it's true. And we have like this appetite for gossip, you know, that's like it's insatiable. We want to hear bad stuff about people and say bad stuff and be instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to take the high road on that, and I'm not going to believe that. And if I start to believe it, I'm going to go to that person instead of talking about it with everybody. Don't be a spreader, and don't be a receiver of gossip. Here's number three. If you're going to help be a unity building person in our church, forgive other people and build unity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, if you forgive those who sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Listen, if you forgive people who you've sinned against, if you forgive people that you've sinned against, God's going to forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive other people, that person hurt me too. But listen, and there's a big difference between forgiveness and restoration of privilege. Huge difference. God didn't call us to restore everybody back to the position they had before their sin. God told us to forgive. That's a non-negotiable. The restoration of privilege you need to earn back. I get all that stuff. But then the Bible says this, if you refuse to forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. That's Matthew chapter 6. Colossians chapter 3 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself. And that's a big statement, because if you knew how much God loved his chosen people, Israel, in the Old Testament, and they messed up time and time, and God forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave, and they kept going back to the idols. And what did God issue to the children of Israel? A divorce decree. Because they just got too far away from him. He said, I'm done with you people. I still love you, but you need to get your hearts back on track. And then Jesus said this to the Pharisees, you guys are representing and talking about somebody that you don't even know. People that said they were followers of God. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anybody who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The reason you forgive, this is so freeing when you get this, church. The reason you forgive somebody that's offended you is not for the sake of the offender, it's for you. Because if you carry a frustration for years and years and years over somebody that hurt you, you know what's going to happen? You're just going to be miserable. You're going to carry that thing like a 60-pound bag on your back. Oh, I'm so mad, I'm so mad, I'm so mad. You know what God wants you to do? Get rid of that burden, forgive that person, and be free from that thing. And listen, if that person needs to make things right with God, that's between God and him. You forgive that person. The reason you forgive, it's for your walk with the Lord. Build unity in our church. Make the others that come to our church feel like it's their home too. We're here, we're together, and we're family. And you know what I learned? You know what I know about family? It's interesting how the Bible talks about the church as a family. I have four girls that grew up in my home. And there were times I felt like the most loved man in the world, where those girls would just shower me with love and attention. They thought I was the greatest guy in the world. But you know what I was many times in that home with all those girls? A referee. Because they would fight. And I know your kids probably never fought because your homes were all perfect, okay? But they would fight over hairbrushes, hairspray, time in the bathroom. Wearing my clothes. Wearing my clothes was a big thing. One of the girls would come upstairs wearing one of the other girls' outfits. Who said you could wear that? That is my sweater. You are, go downstairs right now and pay. No, listen, you wore her sweater yesterday. Yeah, but the day before, I mean, and it's just, you just kind of have to be a referee sometimes, you know that? And we're family in the church, and sometimes we're going to disagree about stuff. And what Satan wants to, he wants to find Henry and me mad at each other so he can get in that relationship and make us hate one another and make him leave our church, go to another church, talk bad about this church, talk bad about me, and make me talk bad about him. Why? So that there's not unity in our body. So that there's not unity in our body. Listen, let me tell you what's at stake. Let me tell you what's at stake. On Wednesday of this week, this has probably been one of those weeks for the books, to be honest with you. It really has. It's been an unbelievable week. On Wednesday of this week, our men had a meeting scheduled, or was it Tuesday? It was Tuesday, right, that we were supposed to meet. And we were supposed to pray over Miss Karen. And Karen, it's good to see you today. I see you're wearing the outfit I had on the other day in the hospital. And we had a meeting to pray, scheduled so we could pray about Karen and ask God to heal her. Because she's in a very, very, she's in a very difficult place right now. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It's very, very serious. She said, Pastor, I'm desperate. I need the church to pray over me. The next day, and she couldn't come because she was in the hospital, so we just went to the hospital and prayed with her, and our men had a sweet season of prayer for her on Tuesday night, talking about the future of our church. It was just a great meeting. Wednesday, I had to do a funeral for a family who lost a three-month-old baby. And that little casket was this big. And that little baby was in there. And that mom and that dad were just broken, busted up people, as you can imagine. And everybody in that room was just a, and I don't say this in a judgmental spirit. It was, they were just people with messed up lives. I mean, everybody before the service started was outside smoking. Guys had cans of beer and they were drinking out. And you know what? They just lost a baby. They don't mean to tell you shouldn't drink and you shouldn't smoke. You know what they needed from me? I don't understand why this happened, but I know that God loved that baby and gave his son for that baby, just like he gave his son for you. My mom this week got real, real, real sick. And she's going through some bad stuff, man, just some bad stuff. And then in our church this week, we had all this little, you know, of just dumb, and it just builds, you know what I'm saying? It just builds up, it builds up, it builds up, it builds up, it builds up. And I was talking to the Lord about it, and I said, God, I want to thank you that we get to serve you, and thank you that we carry your name, and thank you for our church, and whatever it is you're teaching our church, help us to understand. Whatever it is you're teaching me, help me to be more in tune to your will, to love people the way that I should. I don't want to say something up here that I'm not demonstrating out there, and I'm going through all that stuff in my prayer. And I remembered, and I said to this verse to the men this week in Luke chapter 4, where God's word says, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has called me to heal broken hearts, set captives free, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's a paraphrase. It's not exact. But you know, when we're not doing, when things aren't right inside here, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to be able to do what God wants us to do out there. There's people out there that have real problems that are losing loved ones to cancer and they don't know Jesus Christ. There's people out there whose kids are on the doorstep of either going into jail or messing up really bad morally, and we want to get upset about hot dogs. And we let all these little things fester up inside of us, you know, and we forget about what God's called the church to be. God's called this church to be a place when people walk inside, they go like this. Oh, I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm going to hear truth, and God's going to change my life. God didn't call us in to have all different opinions about stuff. I had somebody come up to me this week, Pastor, I can't tell you who said this. I said, then just don't tell me. Oh, but let me just say this. Okay. Why don't we vote on stuff more? Why don't we vote on stuff more? We vote in our business meeting on all the stuff that we're doing, you know? And if we voted on everything that we did, we couldn't even agree on carpet color. We couldn't do that because we all have different opinions. So you know what I didn't do? I didn't pick out the carpet color. I asked interior designers and girls to do it. Because if a man would do it, we'd have black carpet and black walls, right? But God, Satan just wants to use all those little times. Don't say Pastor said I was satanic. I didn't say that. But your feelings, which are legitimate, your feelings on things, which are, they're credible. They're good things. There's nothing wrong with how you feel. It's what Satan does with how you feel and how he festers that to impact, and listen, not affect, but infect. Infect, like an infection, other people. To get us distracted so that we forget why we're here to do what we're supposed to do. I wasn't in the room in 1775 when they started talking about the Declaration of Independence. That's when they started, the year before they did it. But we have the benefit of that document, which was sort of signed on July 4th and a couple other days after, because they didn't have the internet or fax machines or fast rail trains or anything else. It took them a while to get everybody to do that. But we learn from what they did in that great part of history and understand the principles we have now to govern our country. I also wasn't there in 1789, nor were any of you, okay, when this church was started. But we have the original documents, and it's kind of cool. I showed it to you in 1 week. And we're not going to pass them around because by the time it hit the end of the room, they would crumble away. But when you read some of those things that are in that book, and they talked a little bit differently because they were still speaking King's English, and they were a little bit more, you know, refined than we are in some of our talk and so forth. You wouldn't go into that meeting in 1789 and say, "Hey, what's up, bud?" I mean, you just wouldn't do that, you know. But, you know, when I'm reading through that stuff, here's some phrases and things we see in there. A church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church that honors God in the way that it loves people. That's what was in the heart of those people that started this church all those years ago. That's what we need to make sure that we're sustaining and maintaining. And some of the other things are okay. There's nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But when we do something that's a little outside of the box of tradition, as long as it's not outside of the governing box of God's word, it's even okay if you have to work through it a little bit. I'm okay with that. My kids like stuff that I don't like. I understand the generational divide. I really get that. But some of you moms and dads, and some of you grandmas and grandpas that are in this room that I've talked to personally, whose kids aren't in church, you should be the first ones applauding what we're trying to do here and not letting it frustrate you. Don't let Satan get into what God wants to do here. If you agree with that, say amen. And you ask God to guard your heart. And if you're mad at the way Henry Sankin does fire policing, you go talk to Henry Sankin. Now, I want to say this. I've never seen him cuss before. Shirley, don't tell me if he has, okay? We don't need to know that. We're on a need-to-know basis. If you're mad at Brother Don about something, go talk to Brother. But you know what? Listen, let's change our concerns a little bit. Let's change our concerns, okay? Here's what we need to be concerned with. Somebody in Delaware County died and went to hell today because they didn't know Jesus. I'm concerned on whether or not somebody in this building that's going to be here in one of our three services this weekend had the opportunity to meet them or their family. I'm concerned, and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is going to come again soon. Do you believe that? I said that in church a couple weeks ago, and I had a man meet me out back. He said, "Pastor, I don't feel the same way that you do." I said, "Why is that?" "Because if Jesus came back today, I've got dozens of people in my family that don't know Christ that'll spend eternity in hell. I beg him not to come back until somebody tells them about Christ." That's what we need to be concerned about. You want to be concerned about something? Ask God, when was the last time you told somebody about Christ? I have a pastor friend of mine who said, he shared this in a pastor's meeting a couple years ago. He says, "Let me tell you how to deal with people in your church that have concerns. Before they tell you their concerns, ask them 5 questions. I said, "Okay." And these guys were all listening. It was a pastor's meeting. What are the 5 questions? Number one, when was the last time you, before you tell me what you're upset about, I want to know when was the last time you led somebody to Jesus Christ? That was the first question. Question number two, are you a faithful tither to this church? Because if you're going to complain about this church, I want to know that you're giving in this church. Number three, are you right with your family? How's your marriage? Da, 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 da. Number four, are you right with all your kids and this, this, and this? Number five, what do people in your community say about you and your walk with the Lord? Okay, now tell me what you're concerned about. That's a little perspective, isn't it? That gives us a little perspective. Because what God wants to do, we can either, I'm going to quote somebody, then I'm going to pray. First time I talked to men of this church, it was a little over a year ago, because today is the day, the 1 year anniversary of when this church voted on me. And when we walked out of that first meeting, John Bullock grabbed me by the arms. He was standing with Don Anthony, and he said, "Pastor, I want you to know when you walked in this room, I was totally against this 100%. It's the first thing he said to me. He didn't say hi or I love you or anything. It's the first thing he said to me. And I said, "Brother John, it's a..." And I couldn't even get that out. And he said, "I'm not done talking to you, son." Now, if you know John Bullock, you know that's exactly what he said to me. "I'm not done talking to you, son." He grabbed me, he said, with tears in his eyes, "God's in this, but we can't get in the way. Ladies and gentlemen, God's in this church." Do you agree with that? Let's not get in the way. Amen?